think that we're having this discussion about skipping our 15-minute break so that we can continue with our agenda, since we had a plan for this meeting to close a little sooner than what it might in fact be. So if you need to, please feel free, of course, as always, to step out. But we're going to continue and not take the 15-minute break. And we will move to our next G, which is trial court allocation, the operational and security funding for El Dorado Superior Court's remodeled juvenile facility. It's an action item. We welcome Presiding Judge Suzanne Kingsbury, as well as Zlatko Theodorovich.
Good afternoon, Chief, members of the Council. Bringing before you an issue related to funding a new remodeled juvenile facility in El Dorado Superior Court. Previous Council action walked through the history of this particular type of adjustment. In 2005-06 through 9-10, the Council approved using funds to address costs for new or transferring facilities. In your report, you can see all the funds that have been previously distributed, quite lengthy, a number of courts getting funds for new or transferring facilities. Courts submitted surveys indicating their costs for facilities that would be ready within 3 months after the end of the fiscal year for which the request and approval was made. Staff would review the requests, and in October of 08, the Council approved approximately $170,000 in one time and $180,000 in ongoing funding for El Dorado's juvenile facility, which would include a number of facilities, courtroom, support staff, and administrative offices. Since then, the court had requested of the administrative office of the courts whether or not the funds would still be available, because they're aware of some delays in construction of the completion of the project. And in March, they were told that the funds would be available beyond the June 09 period. Again, the court asked in August of 10, and again, staff reassured them that funds would be available. But in November 11, the court again asked, would the funds be available? And at that time, the staff recognized and realized that the timing for allocation of the funds had actually expired, and the court was notified at that time. The court clearly was under the impression that the funds would be available at the time of the opening of the new facility, but since the timing had passed for allocation, we had indicated to the court that we would have to resubmit the request to the Council. So this, in essence, is an old request that, due to delays in the completion of the remodel, this is issued before you because we do no longer have the authority to allocate the funds. So in terms of the new request, the court has had some design changes since the original submittal, combining some the juvenile delinquency, dependency, and traffic courts, but won't have administrative offices in the facility. There have been some costs added or deleted. Some, as naturally, since the time has passed, there's been some costs that have increased and decreased. With respect to any security funding, OERS has found some funds within its budget to manage the costs, so those are no longer needed from the original request. It's important to note that when allocations were provided initially, there was a process in which staff would go through the requests, so it wasn't always a matter of approval and ultimate approval and allocation of the exact amount. And that's why you see in your report there are differences between what was approved and what was allocated. And in some cases, there were courts who initially had an approval amount but never did come forward and ask for the actual funds. So this slide, it just shows you what process staff had gone through to look at the requests. Next slide. So we did work collaboratively with the court to review the report and get comments on what the implications would be in terms of different options that were pursued, what it would mean to the court if the funds weren't approved, and what they have done in terms of budgetary issues over the past several years. They did provide a handout to outline the timeline as to the project delays and explanations there, and then Judge Kingsbury is here to answer questions on that, make a presentation. But as you can see, the court, like many others, has done everything that it can to manage within its budget of approximately $11 million. They have had budget cuts. They've held positions vacant. There are staffing reductions like all of the courts. So in their case, if they have to pay for these facility improvements, they would be looking at further types of reductions in operations at the court. The furnishing services, as you say, are working with our staff did reduce the cost of some of the components. And overall, they are requesting $31,000 less than what was originally approved. So we provide you four different options for your consideration. One would be to approve the request as submitted by the court. Approve a modified request, which is consistent with the approach that staff had taken previously with other requests. The third is to only approve an ongoing funding request rather than the one-year, one-time costs. And the fourth option is to provide no funding at this time. So ultimately, this is an issue of delays in the project, as well as the court's impression that the funds would still be available, and we're coming back to the council for consideration of what was already approved funds. And if Judge Kingsbury has some comments.
Well, I think that our court executive officer is on the line to answer any specific detailed questions about budget and that sort of thing, but I can tell you, like many small courts, we have a multitude of small facilities that are scattered throughout a fairly small geographic region on the west end of our county. And when we went through the process of having the court consolidate, we had some space up in South Lake Tahoe that was originally used for a traffic and small claims court that was separate and apart from our courthouse there. And we didn't really need the space up there. We needed it on the west end of the county. We're one of the courts that is in the 1407 hopper, and we desperately need to have a new facility where we can have some overall efficiencies. When I was watching the video of the different court projects, certainly our facilities could have fit right up in there with the best of them. We currently hold our juvenile court sessions at our old historic courthouse in Placerville. It's a facility that's over 100 years old. It recently went for 3 months without a functional elevator. Juveniles are brought in full view of a state highway. We don't have a we don't have a holding facility. They're brought in the back door. The press, people who present a security risk can be out there when these kids are transported. They're brought into the public hallway, taken up the public elevator, brought into the courthouse in full view of the world. And this has been going on for a long time. And when this project was approved, we were able to get some space adjacent to our juvenile hall where the children would no longer have to be transported by van from the juvenile hall to the courthouse. They could literally just walk up a flight of stairs to go to court. So there were some cost savings, obviously, to the county there. And it gave us a dedicated facility where we could have all of our juvenile dependency, all of our juvenile delinquency, and all of our juvenile traffic combined in one place. Right now, the traffic is held at a separate facility, which is mixed use. It has no perimeter security associated with the traffic court piece of that. And so back in 2010, when we had a commissioner position that was vacant convert to a judgeship, in line with the prospects for this facility, we had the opportunity to combine these functions to deal with these ongoing security risks and privacy risks to the juveniles. And have a judge that would be dedicated to that function. Right now, that judge doesn't have a chambers. He has an office that's sort of interspersed with our court executive team. He doesn't have any adequate place to meet with people. And we made some decisions, frankly, relying on the fact, again and again and again, that this money was going to be delivered to our court. And if you look at the presentation that was provided by the finance division, you'll see a two-page list of other courts and other projects who had been approved had there not been the delays in moving this project forward. And there's lots of different reasons, most of which were not the fault of the court. We wouldn't be here before you asking you to approve extending this financing. It would have been a done deal, just like every other court that's listed within the I don't know what page numbers they are, but thank you. Attachment B to the letter that was presented for you. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Justice Miller?
So, Zlotko, where would this money have come from before if it had been distributed to the court?
It would have come and would come now from the trust fund.
No, before, though. Where, all the other funding that was made under this program.
The increases that would have been SAL increases that were provided to the branch. The state appropriations limit funds increases that would have gone to the trust fund would have been available for distribution for this process.
And so the funding that's being asked for now is from a different pocket.
Well, it's still the SAL went into the trust fund and there it was distributed. These funds would still come from the trust fund, but SAL did not continue, so now it just comes from the trust fund available resources.
And then, Judge Kingsbury, if it's not approved, what happens in the court?
Well, the court project, you know, they've been working on getting it up and running. We heard, I don't know, January, February, May, we have a pool at the court, which we keep having to cancel and start over because the dates keep passing. We're hoping now.
Is it up to $200,000?
Well, if we had that money, that might work. But no, we would like anybody else, we'd have to take it out of our fund balance, and it's approximately. You know, I was somewhat surprised to hear how much Mono County has in their fund balance. Ours is significantly less, and it would take about 25% of our fund balance just for the one-time cost, and then we'd have to meet the ongoing costs. And you know, at the end of the day, we relied on the representations of the AOC that this money was forthcoming.
I understand that. And then if it's only one time, so in essence, portions of it is for kind of physical type goods, and
right,
the second portion is for the ongoing with regards to the security costs, it appears. What are you going to do the following year when you don't get that money?
We're going to have to make cuts in other places.
And if you weren't to get it this year, would that mean you would close that facility or?
We can't. We are not in the same position that other courts are in. We have no extra courtrooms at all. And right now we're relying essentially on the largesse of the county to let us use a planning department hearing room, which is this big, commodious room that is really not appropriate for court proceedings. And we hold traffic there. We hold juvenile traffic there. And when our elevator wasn't working, we had to have the juvenile proceedings there. And, we cannot. We're going to have to suck up the money. And
all right, that's all I had.
Judge Wesley?
Yeah, my question, I want to get back to Justice Miller's first question, which was about the SAL. So when this was done, there were certain requirements put on courts, and that is that they had to get the funding within a certain period of time so that the SAL adjustment would cover.
Correct.
That's right.
And so if they didn't get it in time, if any other court didn't get it in time and the SAL adjustment wouldn't cover it, they wouldn't get the money because that was the requirement.
Correct.
So this court had to get the money in by 2009. They had to get the project completed by 2009 in order to avail themselves of the SAL program, which no longer exists. Am I right?
I believe that's the timing, right?
It's 3 months after the...
3 months, within 3 months of that date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is you have $1.3 million in reserve? What is that as a percentage of your total budget?
Well, our total budget, and Tanya, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what's the total budget at this moment? I just don't have that figure right in front of me.
Our total operating budget is $12,203,118.
Rough figure.
All right. I'm not good in the rough category.
I'm not good in the math category, which is why Tanya is on the phone.
So am I correct then? What you're requesting is that rather than your court spend any more of its reserve, that the AOC pay for juvenile courtroom furnishings, meeting conference room furnishings, file cabinets, waiting room seating, clerk and court reporter station furnishings, and in addition to all of that, ongoing security costs that are not included in your security budget. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right, well, thank you very much. I that answers my questions. I have a comment later on.
Judge O'Malley. So I have a question. With regard to the misinformation that this court has received over a course of a period of years, has that been resolved? So in the future, I know that there might be some people on this council that are thinking if we grant this money, we're going to open the floodgates to every other court that's going to come in and say, I was promised something or I need this or that. Is that an issue here?
Well, first, as I understand, I've talked to staff about any other possible issues out there, and this is the only one that we're aware of where there was an ongoing, you know, and in an effort and a spirit to assist the court, given that they were trying to, you know, they were having struggles in getting their facility completed. Staff, I think, were trying to be helpful. So, you know, that's one problem. It's a good thing, but they didn't really have the authority to sort of exceed the time limits that the council had established. And so, like I said, talking to staff, there are no more courts. We looked at every process that existed. I said, have you made any commitments of to any court where they expect now that they will come in? And so the answer has been no.
Okay. So we're not expecting floodgates.
Furthermore, that if there's any discussion of commitment type, that it must come to me to see whether or not we even have such authority. And since I've been here, everything that I've wanted to do, I've come to the council. So it'd be my standard operating procedures
Right.
that we come to the council for everything.
And just Judge Kingsbury, and I have great respect for you and how you run your court. I've known you for years and know that you do a very fiscally responsible job in doing that and would have made different choices had you gotten different information. I know that just from our conversations, and I know you would have. My question is also on the security, what's the kind of relationship? Is it your sheriff that has your security, and how is that handled with your court?
Our security is covered strictly by the sheriff. We don't have any civilian court attendants or court employed attendants. Our sheriff has done, like in many jurisdictions, a mix of full-time deputies coupled with retired annuitants who filled in. The sheriff is now making a move to having, I'm not sure the exact title, court security officers, attendants who are a lesser being in terms of not being full law enforcement officers. They'll have 832 powers, and
sure,
that was mainly because they had some difficulty getting retired annuitants at certain periods of time. And it's my understanding that the security costs relate to perimeter security, and it would be the court's responsibility.
So the 164 is exactly what type of security?
Perimeter.
Perimeter.
Entrance training.
Yeah.
For the juvenile facility.
Right.
And is that full sworn officers, do we know yet, or is that the sheriff's decision?
Once the sheriff gets his folks on board, it's my understanding that it's his intention that the primary perimeter security costs and duties will be carried out by these folks that are at a level below a deputy sheriff, much like other jurisdictions.
And does your sheriff, is he, for all the other court security costs, is that in his budget or is it still
right.
within your, it's in his budget?
It's in his budget.
So is there a possibility that within a year or two, that this cost also would be something that would be absorbed in his budget, his or her budget, as opposed to the court or our donating the ongoing costs?
I think it would just be subject to the negotiation with the sheriff. I mean, security realignment in theory
has
some...
And is that something, Judge Kingsbury, that your court would actively look at with regard to alleviating this cost in the future?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. And I just would like to make a brief comment in response to what Judge Wesley had to say, and that is that a lot of the delays that, first of all, had this been completed in the fashion that we'd expected, I wouldn't be here. You know, the funding would be there and just like everybody else who had funding approved in this process. And this project started out taking some time with the equity exchange, and then initially the county was going to do the actual retrofit to the facility since it belongs to the county, and then there were discussions about that. It ultimately moved to the state doing it, but it's not as if the time frame for getting this project done in terms of the construction and that sort of thing is anything that the court had an ability to control whatsoever.
David, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I had a question. I couldn't tell from the tables that you provided, Zaka, whether any of the monies that were distributed represented ongoing security expenses or if it was just one-time allocations.
Tables did. The green sheets do show ongoing costs to all the different courts.
You need to get a magnifying glass, I think.
But it does show ongoing costs.
I think it's two-point type or something.
Yeah, but there are a number that did get ongoing funding. For example, in 7-8, there was $1.9 million in ongoing security funds. $1 million was ultimately distributed. There's a JC approved, what was distributed, what was approved. And so it shows ongoing funds.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Justice Hull.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Chief. Actually, Judge Kingsbury anticipated my question on some of the reasons behind the delays, which built off of Judge Wesley's question, and I feel, for my purposes, the answer was adequate. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Silk.
I have a motion. I would move approval of the hard costs of $81,128. I think all of our courts have ongoing costs issues about security costs, and I think if necessary, we can revisit that later. And I understand the equities involved, and that's why I'm making the motion.
It's a modification
of two.
Second it.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. Okay, so we have a motion for hard costs for one-time funding of $81,128. It's not any of the options. It's a modification of option two. So I'm going to just call it option five because it's not on there. And I know, Kim, you wanted to speak to this, and then I'll hear. And Judge Wesley, you've already seconded this.
I seconded it, and I do want to speak to it also.
Okay, so after Kim Turner, as well as I.
So I wanted to go a little further with what Judge O'Malley had to say because one of the things that was of concern to me was the idea that we would commit, the council would commit funding to a court security expense ongoing and into the future when the whole landscape of how we pay for court security has completely changed in the last year. You know, so I don't know. I know that Zlotko has had conversations with Department of Finance and with CSSA, and you know, there's ongoing discussions about what to do about funding shortfalls and court security and what sheriffs took on. Did they have enough money? And on and on and on. But I don't think that funding $164,000 and change in the court security line item and then committing the funds in perpetuity to a court security line item is really in the best interest of the council or the best interest of where we're kind of headed as a branch. We're not funding court security in other places anymore. So that's my comment.
Judge Wesley?
Well, my comment is this. You know, I was very troubled by this, and not because of your court or your leadership of the court. That had nothing to do with it. What troubles me about this report is, one, that you got the wrong information. I find that extremely troubling, because this was all predicated on Sal, and when Sal disappeared, somebody should have been aware of that, and you should have been told. But I also say that your court should have been aware of it. I mean, I would hope that the presiding judges now are, when something is passed by the council, look at what the council passed and the limitations they put on it. The council put a limitation on this, that it had to happen by 2009. And so the court should have been aware of it, even if they were getting bad advice from the AOC. So I'm troubled by both. In addition, I worry that, and this is why I raised it with Justice Hill, that this raises a broader issue. We're building new courthouses, and on those new courthouses, we have additional entries and exits, and every one of those entries and exits needs security. And if we're building in security costs, we're building in more courtrooms, that means more maintenance. We're building in more courtrooms, which means more furniture. Who's going to pay for all this? And on the new courts, I don't think it's built into their budgets. And so is this a precursor to what the council – I'm not going to be on the council after October, but is this a precursor to what's going to happen? Is every court that gets a new courthouse going to be coming before this council and saying, I need additional money for security. I don't know how I'm supposed to get that. I need additional money for furniture. I need additional money for maintenance. I think it raises very troubling issues. And I talked to Justice Hill about it. He told me that they're going to actually look into this as part of their committee. He doesn't know if it's been looked into, but he will. And so I found the whole report very troubling. I seconded the motion because I think you should get enough to open that facility, but I think that security is a problem for your court to resolve and not for the council to resolve at this time.
Yeah, and with respect, Judge Wesley, obviously we knew what the council's decision was, and that was part of the reason that we followed up with our inquiries, and we were repeatedly assured that the funding was there. And had your court been in the same situation, I would suggest you might have operated in the same way. I mean, I can tell you a time that I was on the council when certain representations were made about court security funding for L.A., and there was a shortfall, and we had an emergency circulating order that dealt with court security stopgap funding for L.A. and a number of different courts. It happens.
I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm saying it's very troubling to me that you get the wrong information when you try to rely on that information.
So, Judge O'Malley?
Whether, you know, it's wrong information, my concern is it's not going to happen again. Wrong information happens within a court. When a court all of a sudden makes astronomical errors with regard to its own financing and mistakes it makes internally, we've been responsible for those. And with the AOC, it's no different from the mistakes that a court may make. Doesn't look like it's going to happen again. So here's my question, Judge Kingsbury. You know, you've got an annual budget of $12 million, and $1.3 is not a huge fund balance for that type believe you me, I know, as a presiding judge, that's not a large fund balance. And you have to have certain of that designated to payroll as a restriction pursuant to the AOCs and the demands or what's required of us. I need to ask you to take on at least this first year, knowing the cuts that you have coming and what you're going through now. What is going to happen to your court soaking up this $164,000 in security costs?
We're going to be facing, I mean, I've already said we can't close a courtroom. We don't mm-hmm. have that capability. We're looking at furloughs. You know, conceivably we could be looking at layoffs, obviously delays in trials.
So and, picking up. And this part of what this council is at least in a motion contemplating on not giving you is going to directly affect your court operations.
Absolutely.
And your service and access to the public.
Absolutely. And I'll just tell you that for a small court, we've been significantly hammered with big cases, high-profile cases. I mean, we had the Garrido case, the J.C. Dugard case, I myself, as a PJ, which wouldn't happen in a larger jurisdiction, am handling a case of an individual that's involved with being charged as a serial murderer. We have many, many homicide cases. I mean, big, not, you know, low-level homicides, but I mean big death penalty cases and multiple murder cases in our jurisdiction. And, you know, these are things we have no control over.
Judge Kingsbury, would you in any way hesitate to come back to this council in a year's time to let us know what you're doing with regard to not having the council pay for ongoing security costs if we were to pick those up for 1 year's time?
Certainly I would do whatever you asked of me. I certainly would request that you consider modifying your motion and at least cover the first year. I'm happy to go with Zlatko or anybody else to the legislature, to whoever I need to
or
go
your sheriff,
to the sheriff, to figure something else out. But, you know, it is what it is.
I would urge people to adopt to not modify. So.
But you said ongoing. So I'll call the motion.
Well, wait.
But with a review
judge,
in a year.
Okay, so let me. So there's a substitute motion to take option two by Judge O'Malley.
With review in a year from Judge Kingsbury and Zlatko with regard to the ongoing aspect of the security funding, but to give them the funds for this year.
I just need clarification. Are you just saying the security for 1 year?
Yes.
Versus ongoing?
Right.
So
okay.
Option two for 1 year.
Okay.
I'll second that motion by Judge O'Malley.
And Judge, you in seconding it, I knew that you also had your hand raised to weigh in. Did you want to say anything further?
Yes, thanks, Chief. I just want to talk a little bit prospectively, sort of addressing what Judge Wesley said. You know, talking to one of my liaison courts, they have a courthouse under construction, and they're saving in their fund balance for the future when they have a holding cell and there will be security costs that they don't have currently. And I want us to just be mindful of the fact that those fund balances are really very important to courts, because otherwise they might find themselves in situations where they have courthouses and no way to fund the security, and then they'll have to come to us and ask for assistance. So it's just sort of a prospective issue for us.
So can I get clarification, Judge O'Malley?
Yes.
It's option two, but you said with review in a year. Does that mean that option two is $176,384 one time? Or do you want to keep it in the language of option two?
One time.
Okay.
Chief, if I may.
Just a 2A.
2A. Thank you.
If I may, Chief.
Yes.
The 176 then would be what would be provided for the 12-13 fiscal year, and the $81,000 would be for this year to make the payments for the one-time
right,
cost.
Correct. Thank you.
So it is a total of $257,000, mm-hmm. $81,000 for one time this year, and $176,000 for 12-13 for them to pay for it on a one-time basis.
So let me call it. Let me just clarify. The substitution motion is for option 2A, which says, distribute a total of $257,512, $81,128 in one-time fiscal year 11-12, and $176,384 in one-time or fiscal year 12-13, with a review coming back to this court in fiscal year 11-12?
Correct.
I just have a question.
I mean 12-13. 12-13,
yeah.
Oh, yes, Justice Miller.
So we're then voting on this motion is to bind us in the budget for next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is when those costs would be effectively incurred, so that one particular issue. They won't be spending the 176 in 11-12. They'll be spending it in 12-13.
So for this substitute motion, before I have Jody take a roll call vote, any further discussion? Miriam.
I just have a question. We could always decide for 12-13 to do this when we're looking at 12-13, right?
Or emergency funding.
Or emergency fund. I think there may be well be merit in 12-13 for the council to make this accommodation, but I'm not sure that we need today
to make that decision?
They have to plan as a PJ. I mean, you can't wait until the last minute for that type of an expenditure.
Under option number five, they still have the, depending on how substitute motion 2A goes, under option five, with a one-time cost, they still have an opportunity to come back in fiscal year 12-13 for the 100.
Well, could I ask if just what Judge Wesley would be willing, I assume we need to vote first on 2A since it's a substitute motion.
Yes.
But just so I can sort of consider how I feel on 2A, if Judge Wesley is willing for 5 to make it 5A, which is we decide to do it this year with an agreement that it would come back to the council to then consider as to 12-13 whether there would be an allocation in 12-13.
Well, it was my motion, so how about if I modified that? Sorry, Judge Wesley.
It is your motion. I'm just looking at the rules here trying to figure out.
Well, I'm leaving that up to David in a second, and when we get
the
to that point.
The maker of the motion can always accept the friendly amendment, and if the seconder of the motion agrees, that becomes the new motion.
What if we adopted what I originally indicated, the $81,000 for the current kind of physical costs, and then we asked the trial court budget working group, since this is money coming out of next year, to make a recommendation to us? We can accept that or reject it when we deal with the budget at that time.
I'm just looking for there to be a placeholder for that issue sort of to remain live.
Okay, so I would accept that.
What are we voting for?
I mean,
you made the motion.
Ken made
right.
it.
Yeah. But I think we need to vote on
the substitute motion.
Okay. First.
No matter what you do, you vote on the substitute motion first.
Right, but
I
think the only thing is just so some of us in trying to decide on the substitute motion are just want to make sure that we understand the original motion.
Right. I think that's
and the friendly amendment, the original motion.
Ultimately fair that it go back to the trial court budget working group, and so it is live. I mean, it's clearly one of the things that needs to be considered.
So, Judge O'Malley.
So Zlotko and Judge Kingsbury, how is that going to work for you to not know about this security funding until the next trial court budget working group meeting in your plan with regard to layoffs that need to be made or furloughs that need to be planned or things that need to be laid out in the future so that if you're denied, you're not going to be stuck in the mud?
Well, we have to proceed like we're not going to get the money,
right.
Obviously.
We have a meeting on Monday, so we can put this up for discussion that day in terms of having some early action on it.
So that trial court budget working group will be able to get the materials and to be able to know what their situation is and make a decision by Monday?
We can manipulate the report that we already have in terms of, I mean, many of the members of the council are already on the budget working group would be familiar with
Judge Kingsbury, your thoughts?
But
you don't want to hear my thoughts.
I do. I
really,
really
do. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Let me hear from Angela's thoughts.
It just seems to me that option five, another way of saying what it's doing is it's giving the $81,000 now without prejudice to us giving them more after getting informed input from the trial court budget working group, and it doesn't necessarily have to wait a whole year before we get that input.
Thank you. And Mark Robinson.
Well, I didn't really raise my hand, but I have my thoughts on this. I actually, you know, in business, we these deals where you say, well, we'll give you this now, but maybe next year, you know, but a lot of times next year never comes.
Well, the year comes, but.
Well, it comes, but the thoughts don't come next year. And from what I'm hearing here, it was some sort of a commitment. And we've changed this AOC situation, I think, in the last few months. It's been amazing for me. But I got to say, I'm compassionate to what's going on here. And I like, I don't know which one it is. I think it's 2A.
Yes, that's 2A. Thank you. Judge Yu.
Thanks, Chief. The reason why I seconded Judge O'Malley's 2A is because, you know, we are all human. We all make mistakes. The last just my term on the council, which will also end in October, has really taught me that it's important to be flexible and to be humane and understanding that mistakes are made and representations are made. The other thing that I've learned in my term here on the council is so much of what we're doing is about trust. And it's difficult for me if representations were made to a court where they relied on them, whether they should have or not, they did, and to be happy and a partaker of a breach of trust. And so that's why I'm supporting 2A.
Thank you. Any more comment?
I would like to say something.
Go, sure, certainly.
The PG version of my thoughts are a deal is a deal.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm a person of my word. I expect the council and the AOC to be people of their words.
Edith Mathai.
I certainly understand that and can understand how, put it this way, I, in normal circumstances, would 100% agree with that concept. But I'm not so sure that we are now in normal circumstances. And there, I think the promises of funding to our entire branch that we should have not been lived up to. Unfortunately, I believe every court in the state has the difficulty of the uncertainty and the situation that the funding that they're going to have is not what they expected to have. We don't now know what's going to happen for next year's budget. We don't know what the May revise will be. We don't know what will happen in the future. And so I personally am very concerned about making any commitment for any future monies until we have a better understanding of what all the demands are going to be for whatever unfortunately limited funds we may have. That's not pretty. It's not quote-unquote right, but I fear that it's reality. So for that reason, I would be in favor of the one-time funding at the $81,000 level that was spoken of.
Thank you.
I don't remember what number that is.
Yes, five. Angela, then Miriam.
I mean, Edith said what I would have said.
Okay, Miriam.
I just have a question because I appreciate the comments that were made, and I do think this is a really an unfortunate circumstance. If we were able to get it through the trial court budget working group and it could come back in June, I mean, I'm just thinking it would be helpful to have them weigh in. Would that be something that I understand the quandary that you're in and the need to plan, but if we could get their input and given the fact that, you know, there was a part of this that was based on misinformation, a big part of it. Would June be equally catastrophic in terms of planning and so on? I frankly would just like another couple months to get some input and to be able to hear where we are after May revise as we're looking at the numbers, you know, in June. And so I'm wondering if maybe that's a way to kind of compromise and not thoroughly throw you, you know, down the river, but still give some time for planning.
Could I?
Justice Hull, then Judge Jackson.
All right. Thank you, Chief. All of the comments that I've heard on this particular issue are thoughtful, and it's a close call in my estimation. I'll further say I've never been a presiding judge. I don't come from that perspective. On the other hand, we are talking both formally and informally to courts who are all distressed in their funding about plan ahead, plan ahead, plan ahead. And frankly, I'm sympathetic to Judge O'Malley's point and Judge Yu's point and other points. I don't see how El Dorado County can plan ahead if they don't know if they're going to have the funds to operate the courthouse that we or the facilities that we're authorizing. And so I recognize, as Justice Miller's concern was, that to some indirect way we may be burdening next year's budget. I also recognize, Miriam just said, that we are also uncertain as to exactly what money we'll have. And given my positions in the past on other requests for money from other courts, I think I've been taking a rather hard line, but on balance, I don't know how we can give them half a loaf here.
I agree.
Judge Jackson?
I also agree.
We made a deal, and I believe we should live up to it, and this is the whole point of the direction that the council is going in. Also, just to address the issue of whether or not the trial court budget committee could come up with something for June, I doubt it very seriously in view of they have to look at the whole 2012-13 budget. So I don't want to put that on them and giving this false sense of hope that we can address this in June when realistically they cannot.
Fritz, then Judge Rosenberg.
I would just say this discussion wouldn't even be had if the mistake that hadn't been made in 2009 to protract this, to run this out even longer, it is just, to me, beyond the pale. Finish it up, pass 2A, and let's get on with it. The trial court budget working group has got much bigger issues to deal with than worrying about this $176 million.
Judge Rosenberg, then Commissioner Alexander.
I am on the trial court budget working group. In fact, I guess I'm co-chair now. there's no way that the trial court budget working group will be able to address this issue. We're going to be looking at macro issues. This is a call that the Judicial Council has to make. It's a fisher cut bait. You're not going to get any help from the trial court budget working group. Where do I stand? This is one of those occasions where I'm delighted not to have a vote. But, you know, since I'm asked, on balance, I have to support in this one case my fellow PJ because of the commitments that were made. It's one of those equity calls.
Yeah. Commissioner Alexander.
I was wondering if there's money from a different source. Is there still money left in the emergency fund?
It doesn't qualify for our guidelines because there's no. So that's why that doesn't work.
Okay. Judge D'Alba, then Judge Kaufman.
Chief, thank you. Unlike Judge Rosenberg on this occasion, I wish I had a vote, and I would vote to appropriate the money that Judge Kingsbury's asked for on the one-time basis, the 2A option. I have a hard time believing that we're even talking about compromising security. So I wish I could vote for it. I would urge 2A pass.
Judge Kaufman.
I've worked with Judge Kingsbury as a PJ for 14 years until I got on the council, and she's probably one of the most savvy PJs I've ever worked with. Suzanne, you made a deal. You thought you had a deal, and you're asking us to fulfill the obligation. Is that correct?
Yes.
If quite honestly, if Susan can be fooled or make a mistake like that, it can happen to any of us. And I think that we should just pay the money and say maybe we made a bad deal, but it's done. Let's move on.
Let's go.
So at this time, then, I'm going to have Jody do a roll call vote on the substitute motion 2A. Judge Yu.
You first?
Yeah, I'm used to going last.
I just pinched her.
Oh,
reverse alphabetical.
Yeah. Reverse alphabetical.
So she's an I. I'm an I. Okay. Judge Wesley?
No.
Judge So?
No.
Mark Robinson?
Aye.
Judge O'Malley?
Aye.
Justice Miller?
No.
Edith Mathai?
No.
Miriam Krinsky?
Aye.
Judge Kaufman?
Aye.
Judge Jackson?
Aye.
Justice Holt?
Aye.
Judge Herman?
Aye.
Judge Elias?
No.
Angela Davis?
Very close call, but no.
Justice Baxter?
Aye.
Justice Ashman Gerst?
No.
Pretty close.
Yeah. 9-7, motion passes.
No, we need 11.
Oh. And is everyone here? Well, not the even if I cast a vote, it won't get to it. You're not going to get to it.
Uh-uh. Well, who didn't vote? Who didn't vote?
Well, we have three absent folks. We have.
Oh, Judge Baker.
Judge Baker.
Baker.
Yes. And the legislators. And the legislators. We have three.
The 11.
So
the motion fails.
Yep, it does. 9/11. So now we vote on option number five, knowing that 2A has failed. Roll call vote on option five.
Okay. I'm going to start backwards again.
Okay. No.
Wait, Judge Wesley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Judge, you?
Could somebody restate?
Oh, yes. Option number five is providing $81,128 in fiscal year 11-12 as a one-time hard cost, period.
If it doesn't pass, then
what?
They get nothing.
If it doesn't pass, then...
Well, no, then, well, I think there needs to be a new motion.
Right,
have a new motion.
Yeah, yeah. So don't think you have to vote. But it hasn't not yet passed, so we're going to take the vote.
Yes. Okay. Judge Yu?
No.
Judge Wesley?
Yes.
Judge So?
Yes.
Mark Robinson?
Yes, for now. I mean,
okay. Judge O'Malley?
No.
Justice Miller?
Yes.
Edith Mathai?
Yes.
Miriam Krinsky?
Yes.
Judge Kaufman?
No.
Judge Jackson?
No.
Justice Hull?
No.
Judge Herman?
No.
Judge Elias?
Yes.
Angela Davis?
Yes.
Justice Baxter?
No.
Justice Ashman Gerst?
Yes.
No, it's only got nine. It still doesn't pass.
Nine, seven again.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You're talking about divorce.
So?
Did we take a 15-minute break now?
Can we reach a middle ground number, maybe, possibly? Is that a consideration for the no's?
Anything.
Well, by the rules of this body, we said we need 11 votes, so another motion would be in order.
And our options are stated, or even alternate options in terms of one-time. Well, the issue does not seem to be the one-time funding of $81,128. The issue is impacting fiscal year 12-13 with any even one-time or ongoing funds.
I'll make an alternate motion that we.
Oh,
me.
Oh, July. Thank you, Judge Elias.
That we split it with regard to the security cost. There was a mistake made by everybody. The budget situation is so much different than now than it was in 2009. Everybody has uncertainty, and to resolve this, we give them the $81,000 and half of the security money as a one-time payment for security.
I'll second that.
So it's a half. Security is $164,624, and half of that is
half of the 176.
176.
Yeah.
Plus the 81. Never mind.
And question, Chief.
Yes. Judge O'Malley.
Judge Kingsbury, how is this going to help you if we get half of it again with regard to planning as a PJ and with regard to, so is it now half of the layoffs that you would contemplate not getting any? I mean,
half a loaf is better than none.
But it still will result in furloughs as opposed to just, is this something that you could get out of, fund balance temporarily for this, as opposed to operations?
The problem with fund balance, as everybody knows, it's a one-time deal, and then it's gone.
Right.
And we already have what we consider to be a very modest fund balance for the size of our court. I mean, we're not a politically powerful court. We're just a little court in the mountains, and we cut costs where we can. I mean, everything that I do as a PJ, all the travel within the county and that sort of thing, I don't charge my court for that at all. Don't do it. I eat it.
Yeah. So you want to keep your fund balance because it's not that much, so it would result in just still furloughs, other operational costs that would impact, again, court services and access to the public.
Part of our problem is we don't have the same ability to generate efficiencies as courts that are in one geographic location. We can't move people from place to place. I mean, it's, my courthouse is a mountain pass and hour and a half away from the next closest courthouse. I mean, we just don't have the capability of shutting something down. I mean, the only thing that we have where we can really cut costs is personnel, just like everybody else.
Thank you.
Judge Freeman.
Thank you, Chief. I'll move that the suggestion that Judge Elias made be adopted by this council. I think everyone wants to help this court. Some of us believe that the court needed more help than is now possible given how the votes were cast. But this is our only option to be able to do it, and I think that we need to get on and give them at least some indication from this council, and I hope that there will be a unanimous vote in favor of the motion.
Thank you. So I have Judge Elias making the motion. I have Judge Miller seconding it. And Justice Hill, you was to speak to it as well.
I just had a question, and it arises from the questions Judge O'Malley asked. Judge Kingsbury, if this motion passes and you get half of these additional costs, you've suggested that there are going to have to be layoffs and other cutbacks in other areas. And
absolutely.
I take it that those would have to begin essentially tomorrow.
Yes.
Without the money you need.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've hesitated whether to say this, and you know, this is difficult for me being on the SEC to come to you and beg for money, because you know we're in the process of writing this report, and it makes me really uncomfortable to come and beg for money to run our court, because I know that there's going to be people out there in the world that are going to think, you know, if you give money, it's because of my role in the SEC. I mean, you have no idea how uncomfortable it makes me be to sit here and to be in this position, not to mention the impact on the court, which obviously is significant. But this is very, very troubling for me to have to do this. And I think it's troubling to have the council make representations, have the AOC make representations, and then renege on those representations, because every court sitting around here could be in the same position we're in.
Any further discussion before we take the vote?
Is there any reason why somebody can't ask for a revote on another motion?
Well, we have a forced option number six, and it comes down to the one-time cost, $81,128. And half of security costs, which comes to the amount of $88,192, for total one-time funding of $169,320. So, I'm going to do a roll call vote.
Okay,
Judge Yu.
So, Judge Kingsbury, I've also worked with you, and I have utmost respect for you. I hadn't even remembered that you're on the SEC, and I just cast my vote for 2A because I felt it was the right thing to do. I think that we do need to move forward, and I am going to support this, so I vote yes.
Okay. Judge Wesley?
Yes.
Judge So?
Yes.
Mark Robinson?
Yes.
Judge O'Malley?
I'm sorry, Suzanne.
Yes.
Justice Miller?
Yes.
Edith Mathai?
Yes.
Miriam Krinsky?
Yes.
Judge Kaufman?
No.
Judge Jackson?
No.
Justice Hull?
Yes.
Judge Herman?
Yes.
Judge Elias?
Yes.
With reservation.
Angela Davis?
Yes.
Justice Baxter?
Yes.
Justice Ashman Gerst?
Yes.
Okay.
Matter passes.